Od piątku można słuchać drugiego krążka grupy Bilk, Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll. Ja mam okazję teraz o tym krążku porozmawiać z frontmanem kapeli, Solem Abrahamsem. Hello Sol, and thank you for joining to this interview.
Hello there, how's it going, alright?
So, first of all, 2024 is behind us, so to warm up, how would you sum up the last 12 months?
The last 12 months has been pretty chaotic, to be honest. We recorded the album. I wrote the album from start to finish in like the space of about 2 months before we got in the recording studio to record it all. Then we got in and we recorded the album in about 2 weeks. That's our second album, Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll. And then we didn't go on a tour this year, but we played a load of festivals and that. And now we're just about to release the album in 2025. So yeah, it's been a chaotic year. You know what I mean? A lot's gone down, a lot's happened and that. But now we're ready to release the album in 2025. Come on.
And how does the rock and roll star feel after recording of his second album?
I feel grand. I feel splendid. You know what I mean? I feel happy with what I've done. You know what I mean? Because I'm proud of the album that I've made and I'm proud of the songs on it and I'm happy with it. So, you know, ultimately what the album does is out of our control. And we don't know whether it's going to do great or bad or whatever, but we love it, so we don't really give a shit, do you know what I mean? We're happy with it.
Before I move on to the second album, Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll, which will be topic of our interview, let's focus on Bilk Band. You play a mix of indie rock, punk rock and rap rock. I just thinking, how can this species stick together to make it come out perfectly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, I just suppose I'm just into a load of different music. You know, I grew up listening to Eminem and a lot of rap music, a lot of hip hop. You know what I mean? That's the sort of shit that I was raised on. Listen to my mates and that. And then obviously, you know, rock and roll is where my heart really lies. And so obviously with the influences of hip hop and rock and roll and indie music, and I just like music all round, you know what I'm saying? Any music that's good, that's what I'm into. So the music comes out how it does, you know what I mean? I don't really try too hard to sort of write in any sort of style or any sort of way. It just comes out as it comes out because of the influences I've got. You know what I mean?
The logo of the band is Snail. What's the deal? What does it symbolize?
I don't think the snail really symbolizes anything, to be honest. I just, when I was in school and that, I used to get a lot of detention. So I'd sit in detention and I'd draw, you know, to make the time go quicker and that. And I'd sit there like doodling on the paper and everything. And then one day I just drew the snail. And that was the sort of time that I was starting a band just as I was leaving school. So it just kind of became the logo from there, really. I don't really know why I chose a snail. It could have been an antelope for all I know. Do you know what I mean? But obviously a snail it was and a snail it stayed. Do you know what I mean?
You are responsible for these songs. You are a songwriter. But the Bilk group is also Luke Herr and Harry Gray. What contribution do these gentlemen have?
Well, basically, I write the songs, right? So I write them on acoustic guitar, normally in my bedroom, in my dressing gown. And then I take them down to the bottom of our garden, and we, you know, we rehearse them together, and then I show them a new song. And sometimes it's a case of just they play along, and we just, you know, it's easy. And then sometimes we have to go through it a little bit more. But basically, you know, I write the songs, and then the boys just get behind it, and they do their thing on it, and then it comes alive as a whole song. You know what I mean? And then that's their contribution to it. Luke obviously plays bass, Harry plays drums, I play guitar and sing and rap and shout, and I write the songs. And it's always been that way, you know what I mean? There's never been any sort of arguments about creative control or anything like that because, you know, I write the songs in the band. It's always been the way it is, you know what I mean? I'm quite controlling as well about that because, you know, the songs are personal to me and the songwriting's my thing. And I've always, you know, we've always just thought, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know what I mean? We love, you know, the boys like the songs that I write. I like the songs that I write. And then we just do it from there, you know what I mean?
Your band became on a roll with the single Spiked from 2018, which is about a man who had one drink too many. The single also shows that punk isn't dead.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, that was like the second song I ever wrote, actually, when I was about 15 or something. And the story is, you know, you were saying about, oh, it's a man that gets his drink spiked. That man was, that was more of a boy. That was me when I was younger. I was at a party and I just got really fucked up. And then I thought that I might have been spiked. So I wrote a song. And yeah, people have liked it, you know what I mean? People like the tune, but people like all of our tunes, you know what I mean? It's not just Spikes. We got a lot of love for all of our tunes. It's just for some reason, the algorithm seems to pick that one up more. God knows why, do you know what I mean? I mean, it's a good song, obviously. I like the song still, but we, you know, we're onto the new shit now. And we feel like the new shit represents us as a band more and is some of the best stuff that I've written, you know what I mean?
The popularity of the big bands is so great that even the Japanese ask to perform in the land of the rising sun. Did you expect such a result?
What's that for? The Japanese fans? Yeah, I mean, like, we've never played Japan, but it's always been somewhere that's that I've wanted to play. You know, Japan and New York have been two places that I've wanted to play a show, but we've never been to Japan, but we get asked to go there a lot by the fans and that, so I'm sure at some point we'll go out there for a gig, you know what I mean? I want to go there, you know, play a show there, it'd be good.
Before I focus on the SX Jackson and Rock and Roll, I have a short question about the debut album, self-titled, Bilk. How did audience evaluate the first LP from 2023?
Yeah, I mean, like, people, you know, the fans loved it, you know what I mean? We went on tour about 5 days after and that, everyone was going off, jumping around and that, going mad, you know, jumping on the stage, singing the songs back to us and that was only about 5-6 days after we'd released the album, you know what I mean? So obviously it went down well, you know what I mean? Everything that we've dropped, really, it's just been like a steady, slow, you know, rise up to it. Because the thing is, we've done it in an organic way, you know what I mean? It's been real from the start of us doing the band. So obviously, you know what I mean? We've come up with each project that we release or whatever, each album, EP, you know, group of singles that we release, we get more fans with it and more people find out about us. And I think, you know, with progress as a band, you know what I mean? From when we first started, it used to be a bit more sort of scrappy and punky because we were younger then, whereas now the music sort of evolved and it sounds bigger now with this new album, you know what I mean? So I feel like the fans are growing with us, which is cool because it's always been an organic, real thing, you know what I mean? It hasn't been something where we've been plucked out by some major label or, you know, got rich celebrity parents that have put us in the spotlight straight away, you know what I mean? It's been an organic growth, so the fans have been able to grow with us as we're doing it, you know what I mean, which is cool.
And now I'm going to move on the album that came out on January 24, SX Drugs and Drug and Roll. I'll start with the title, because I like to break down the publishing house about the fact is it is a paraphrase of the famous slogan of Ian Dury, a song. And where did the idea to add the S prefix to sex come from, apart from the fact that it would create a county in which the band was formed?
Well, that's it, yeah. Well, we're from Essex, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, we live here still, and this is where it's where we're from, innit? You know what I mean? So obviously, I mean, the name came about, Luke, the bass player we were talking about earlier. We was out in Germany and we was playing a gig there and we was in the hotel at maybe like 4 a.m., 4 in the morning or something like that. And we was all, you know, we was all off our tits and we were like, you know, we was having a bit of a party and that in the hotel room. And then Luke just was like standing outside on the balcony and we was having a cigarette. And then he goes, what about the name Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll? You know, for a t-shirt design or something like that. But he's always scheming t-shirt designs, Luke. Do you know what I mean? And then I was like, I turned around, and I went, nah, that's the album name, that is. So you can thank Luke for that bit of genius, you know what I mean? But I pointed it to Luke and I said, yeah, that's the album name, Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll. And it just made sense from there, you know what I mean? Because obviously the album, it's not only just about Essex and where we're from, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, sex, drugs and rock and roll, you know what I mean? It's like, there needs to be a bit, I think there needs to be a bit more of that in music right now. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's gone a bit too scared and everyone's gone a bit too sterile. You know what I mean? No one wants to speak their mind and everyone wants to make music to try and get on TikTok or like, you know, like get on the radio and all that. Whereas like the music that I make and the music that we make as a band, we, you know, we want to embrace the sex, drugs and rock and roll aspect of it, I guess, you know what I'm saying? And just go for it. You know what I mean? I think there's, you know, people need to loosen up a bit in this day and age. You know what I mean? I think an album and a band like ourselves will hope people do so. You know what I mean? Bring a bit of life to the game. Kind of what I want to go.
To be honest, a great story. On Facebook, we can read that it's an album about rock and roll, fun, love, sex, drugs, good and bad moments, relationships, ups and downs, plot twists, and a lot of fun. And were there any topics that you had to reject right away?
No, there wasn't, no. I mean, like, we had a little bit of pushback from the record label at one point, because there's a song on the album called Slag, and I don't know if you are familiar with the term in Poland, but it's like a derogatory term for like a girl that sleeps around loads, right? But the whole point of the song is that it's you know, it's my own comment on sexism, and you know, I guess it's a bit of a feminist song really, and it's about sexual liberation. But because of the title of the song, the record label were a bit sort of hesitant on us putting the song on the album. They wanted me to change the title and that, but you know, we're not the sort of band that want to compromise what we're doing, you know what I mean? And it has a meaning behind it, and I think it will raise eyebrows, and that's always what I've wanted to do as well, you know what I mean? So the whole album, you know, was written from a point of view of, you know, I just wrote what I wrote, you know, whether people liked it or not, and then whatever goes on the album goes on the album, you know what I mean? And if people you know, don't like it, then that's just their problem, you know what I mean?
How did the work on the album look like from the technical side?
It was pretty straightforward, to be honest. You know, we got in the studio for 2 weeks, which is quite a short amount of time to record a whole album, to be fair. That was 13 songs on the album. So obviously that's a short amount of time to record 13 songs. But obviously, you know, we got in for 2 weeks, and you know, we're a hard-working band, you know what I mean? Which I think a lot of people don't realise about us. They think that we're just, you know, constantly just taking drugs and partying and being idiots, you know what I mean? But we work really hard at what we do, you know what I mean? Because obviously we, like, give a shit about it, you know what I mean? And we don't take life too seriously, I don't think, but we take the music seriously, you know what I mean? So obviously getting in the studio and that, we put the work in, and then we get in the studio and the songs just came together. You know, I wrote one of the songs, the next single that we're going to release actually is called Go, and I wrote that whilst I was in the studio. That was the last song to come about. And that came together on like the last 3 days of being in the studio. So obviously, you know what I mean? Things are spontaneous as well. I think it's good to keep things spontaneous. It's always been the way of the band, you know what I mean? Like, we go away and stories just happen. Things just go on. You know, when we play live, you know, shit goes down and things go mad, and we don't really try and plan shit too much. Not really. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you can see that in the sense of when I was writing the album, I mean, I only wrote it like in the last 2 months before we got in the studio to record it, you know. And Luke and Harry and everyone else was, you know, a manager and a record label stressing out because they were going, oh, you know, you're getting in the studio, you've got no songs, you know what I mean? But obviously then I kind of wrote them last minute and I think it's, you know, like the best music that I've wrote, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's how it kind of came about really. It was pretty easy, but also not.
Essex, Drugs and Rock and Roll begins with the song R&R, which is about life, like a rock and roll star, and you direct words that are important for young people, so that you should follow your own path and not worry about what people say. You have cases where others thought, what the hell?
Yeah, well, a lot of people were sort of, I think a lot of people, especially in England as well, I don't know if it's the same in Poland, right, but I think in England, a lot of people get sort of threatened by confidence. You know, if you're confident about yourself and you know, like the idea of a bloke, you know, in his mid-20s coming out there with, you know, wearing a pair of sunglasses and with long hair, dressing how he wants to dress, saying that he's a rock star, you know, people just, you know, they get annoyed by that. Do you know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people are threatened by having confidence, whereas I've always felt confidence is a good thing. You know what I mean? And I think that we should live in a world more people are happier to see other people have confidence and be happy, you know what I mean? And obviously that's what the song's about really. The song's just about, like, you know, making your own path, like exactly what you said. You kind of summed it up, to be honest, which is like, you know, having your own path and just coming out and saying, yeah, I'm a rock star, you know what I mean? And that's how I'm going to feel today, because that's how I live my life, you know what I mean? That's how I wake up feeling. I dress how I want to dress, I say what I mean, and I'm myself, do you know what I mean? I do me, I keep it real, you know what I mean? And that's obviously what, to me, is being it's not about taking drugs or, you know, sitting in a limousine with a Les Paul guitar, you know what I mean? It's more just about being real and being yourself and living life to the fullest, you know what I mean? Living life in the moment, you know what I mean? That's what being a rock star is to me, and that's how I try and live my life.
Staying with R&R, in the comments under the video clip on YouTube, I saw suggestions that it was a cover of Oasis' Rock and Roll Star. How is it with a single?
I don't really think much of it, to be honest. I mean, I think a lot of people are just idiots, you know what I mean? And they don't really listen to things properly, you know? I think a lot of people, they just hear one lyric in a song, because that's the thing. Like, if you listen back to, if you listen to R&R and then you listen to Rock and Roll Star by Oasis, you know, first of all, I love Oasis and they're one of my favorite bands of all time, you know what I mean? So the music that I make, at least some of the songs are going to sound like they're inspired by Oasis, because they're one of my favorite bands ever, you know what I mean? So that's for a start. And obviously the second thing is as well is that If you actually listen to the songs back to back, they sound nothing alike. You know, the only thing that is similar in the songs is that the one lyric in the chorus about it, you know, being a rock star, feeling like a rock and roll star. But the way that I look at it is Noel Gallagher in Oasis. You know, as much as I love him and what he does, he wasn't the first person to write about being a rock star. You know what I mean? I mean, if you listen to AC/DC, they were, you know, Bon Scott was singing that shit way before Noel Gallagher was in the 70s. So I don't really think it's anything new. And I think people just like to hate and jump on a bandwagon. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm really doing anything. And to be honest with you as well, I feel like if I can piss some people off and annoy some people, then good. Do you know what I mean? I enjoy doing that. I enjoy annoying people and creating conversation. You know what I mean? I like splitting decision. I like it when some people love us and some people hate us. You know what I mean? I think that's a good thing. So I just think it's a good thing. You know what I mean?
The whole album seems to be a real-life story of Saul Abrahams put into tunes. I am, after listening to Essex, Drugs and Rock and Roll, how many songs are based on facts and how many were made up for the purposes of this album?
I think basically all of it was real, really. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I just write from my reality, you know what I mean? Everything that you sort of hear in my music is comes from a real place, you know what I mean? From me sitting down and writing it. And a lot of the time, I don't even really think about what I'm writing too much. It just sort of comes out, you know. For this album especially, Essex, Drugs and Rock and Roll, you know, I wrote most of the songs. I'd say about, you know, 90% of the songs I wrote them in about, you know, 5 minutes. You know what I mean? I didn't even spend much time writing them, really. They just kind of flowed out of me, you know what I mean? But I sat there afterwards and I said, yeah, I like this. This is going on the album. Do you know what I mean? In fact, I love it, because the thing is with the songs for me, right, they're not just songs, you know what I mean? They're not just a guitar riff and then me just saying some random lyrics that are going to make you rub your chin and they don't really mean anything. You know what I mean? It's not really personal. Like, my lyrics are, it's almost like a biography of my life. You know what I mean? If you listen to the album and you listen to the songs and what they're about, I mean, in a lot of the songs, I'm even naming personal people that I know, you know, like personal people in my life, you know, and obviously stuff that I go through, whether it be good ups and downs, funny, whatever. Do you know what I mean? And some of the songs as well, based on people I've met. So it's like, you know, it's all just real shit at the end of the day. Because the way that I've always seen it is like, I can't write about anyone else's reality but myself. You know what I mean? I've just got to write about where I'm coming from. So that's what I've always done. You know what I mean?
You are also a romantic, the effects of which we can hear in another song, Summer Days.
Indeed.
How is it with the love of life? Do you think it's the way we see it, for example, in films that are not necessarily romantic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of like a lot of music and a lot of films and entertainment, you know, like there's a lot of stuff where it depends what you're watching, really. Do you know what I mean? And what you're listening to, you know, sometimes you get the glossed up, you know, pretend version of things in music and in films and stuff, and sometimes you get the reality, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, everyone loves a little bit of glossed up, you know, every now and then. Everyone likes to see Hugh Grant walking down a street in London, you know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone likes a good rom-com film, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, I like to sort of talk about, in my music, I like to sort of reflect reality. I think it's always been the way that I am, you know. I've always sort of prided myself on being real, and in the music as well, like, you know, just sort of writing about the reality of life and the reality of things, how I see it. And obviously in the songs about love and romance on the albums, you can hear that come through, you know what I mean? Obviously I talk about, you know, my experiences being in love and being in relationships from a real point of view, you know what I mean?
Skidmark is for me the biggest surprise, because it is a ballad with a joyful rhythm, but lyrically we have the opposite situation, because for example, a close person makes the subject's life restless, and the question, where did the idea come from in your head to throw in the worst things in a joyful tone?
I don't really know. I mean, I didn't really have the idea in my head. I sort of just was laying there in bed one night and then the song just pops into my head. Like, you know, like sometimes I'm just laying there and then a chorus just comes into my head out of nowhere. Like, you know, like a lot of people say, it's a bit of a cliche now, but a lot of songwriters say that when they have certain songs, they just sort of fall from the sky, you know what I mean? And, that tends to happen quite a lot. I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden I'll just, a riff or a chorus or something will come into my head. And that's what happened with the song Skidmark, you know what I mean? And then I just wrote this little happy song about someone. Obviously, I'm not gonna disclose who it's about. Not on radio, you know what I mean? But but you know, if you listen to the music and that, I think a lot, and the lyrics, I think a lot of people can relate to what the song's about and who it's about, you know what I mean?
Tell Me, on the other hand, is the story of a novice actress who gets into an affair with a guy who is a bit of a bad person and who leads her down the wrong path.
Down the wrong path in life, yeah.
And who is the title character, a novice actress or a bad person?
Well, if you listen to the lyrics of the song, you'll be able to hear what the characters are in the song. You know, obviously, Tommy in the song was the bloke that led the girl down the wrong path in life. You know, who the actress. You know, who obviously, yeah. So, if you listen to the song, you'll be able to sort of take in the story. You've got to listen to it from start to finish, and then it kind of tells a story throughout the song. And yeah.
Your favorite Essex Drugs and Rock and Roll track from the non-singles?
My favorite. I don't really have a favorite, to be honest, because I like all of the songs and they all mean different things to me in different ways. You know what I mean? Obviously, they're all somewhat a reflection of my life. So you know, I have different favorites on different days. You know what I mean? But I think one that stands out at the moment for me that I've been enjoying lately is a song called Band Life Blues, which sort of sums up the journey of the band and how we came together. You know, how we came together to be in a band, how I started it when I was young, leaving school. My dad, who's our manager, he told me to get in the band and, you know, pick up a guitar and stop sitting in my room. And then obviously I met Luke and Harry and we formed the band and you know, everything sort of came together like that, really. That's probably my favourite one at the moment, because I like the fact that even though the song, it talks about the struggle and the ups and downs and how hard and long and grueling being in a rock and roll band is. You know what I mean? It's not an easy job, you know. For like any pop star out there, they can just sit behind the laptop in their bedroom and make a tune and they ain't got to worry about dealing with people and rehearsing. And, you know, like being in a band nowadays, right, with technology as well and like the way that a lot of people make music, being in a rock and roll band is probably one of the hardest ways that you can make music, but it's one of the most rewarding as well, because there's nothing better than it. And I want people to listen to the song and hear the ups and downs of it and hear that it's long, but also want to also feel inspired to start a rock and roll band. You know what I mean? I feel good about it, because I don't like these sort of bands that you see about at the moment, these sort of artists and that will, you know, they'll be doing their band thing or whatever, they'll be touring and that, and all they do is just complain about it and moan about it. You know what I mean? I like to add a bit of humor to it and say, you know, because the song ends on a good note of me saying, look, that's, you know, this is why I'm in a rock and roll band, because I love it. You know what I mean? And that's the truth of it. I love being in a rock and roll band, and this is my, you know, if I feel like it's what I'm destined for. You know what I mean?
Let's talk for a moment about tour, because this is probably the first time you go outside the UK to show yourself to other Europeans.
Yeah, we ain't the first time. No, we've been to Germany before. We've been to the Netherlands. We've been to France. We played festivals. We played festivals in Europe and that. And we always enjoy it when we come as well, you know what I mean? And we enjoy it when we play it. But this is our first ever headline tour, though. This is our first ever time we're going to be playing Bilk shows in Europe. You know what I mean? Before that, we hadn't played Bilk shows. It'd just be at festivals and stuff like that. And, you know, whoever saw us there would see us there. But whereas now, we're actually getting our own crowds of our fans, of people, you know, in Paris that are Bilk fans coming to the shows. You know what I mean? In Germany, in Poland, in the Netherlands, you know, all over the place. So, I mean, like, you know, there's not much we can really say but to give the cliche answer of that we're excited for it, you know what I mean? And we're up for it because, you know, we enjoy traveling around Europe as well, you know what I mean? Europe's always good fun, you know what I mean? I feel like the Europeans have a bit more of a looser attitude than a lot of British people, you know what I mean? Like they sort of just know how to have fun and enjoy themselves, and they love the rock and roll, you know what I mean? In England, like, you know, we get great crowds in Britain, and I fucking, you know, I love being from England, and I love the crowds that we get when we play in the UK, but there's more of a sort of uptight attitude, I think, where, you know, people only start to mosh about and dance and that if someone else is, you know what I mean? Whereas in Europe, you know, you always get some crazy guy at the front just like running around in a circle because he's just enjoying the music, you know what I'm saying? People don't really seem to care as much in certain places in Europe as they do, you know, it's less uptight. And I like that sort of freedom and that liberation, you know what I mean?
Among the concert stops, there were also two Polish cities, Warsaw and Kraków. And do you imagine our audience?
Do you know what? I don't even know, because I haven't been to Poland before, and I don't really know what to expect at all. But I don't, you know, I think it's the best to not go into things with expectations. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you can end up disappointed, or
you know, well, I don't really know what it's going to be like. I mean, I've heard good things about Poland, and I met a lot of people from Poland as well. Like, we played a gig not long ago where I met the sound guy, and he was the guy that did our sound at this gig. He was from Poland. So I was chatting to him about the venues we were playing, and he knew the venues we were playing. And I've heard they've got a good crowd out there, and they like the music and that. So, you know, we always get messages on our social media of people asking us to go to Poland, you know, and play a show out there and all the rest of it. So, you know, I feel like it's going to be good. You know what I mean? I'm up for it. I'm up for playing wherever, to be honest, as long as I've got my guitar in my hand and I can do my thing. I don't really care where it is. Do you know what I mean?
Finally, because we are so close to the end of interview, let's do a fortune telling from Tea Leaves. Will Essex, Drugs and Rock and Roll become a success? Because some people in Poland say that the hardest thing is to make a second album.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that you have your whole life to write the first album, and you only have about 6 months to write your second one. You know, and that's why it's harder to write a second album than it is, you know, the first one. But, you know, realistically, mate, I really don't know whether it will be successful or not. You know, that's not something that I can sort of determine. You know what I mean? That's not something that's in my control, or something that, you know, it's not in my control to know if it's gonna be successful or not. All I can do is sort of, you know, do what I can to make it successful and just, you know, believe in the tunes. But, you know, my sort of attitude on it nowadays is just like, I know that it's fucking sick, and I know that it's the best band about, I know that it's the best album about in modern band music, you know what I mean? And I can say that, you know, truthfully. So obviously, whether it does well or not, it's out of my control and it's really none of my business, you know what I mean? I think all we can do is just make the tunes, release them, and then go around and tour them, you know what I mean? And if it does great, it does great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't, you know what I mean? And we'll just do our thing regardless, you know what I mean? What I'm happy about is the fact that I'm releasing a second album that I'm really proud of and I think is the bollocks, you know what I mean?
Okay, and that's all. Thank you for joining to this interview, and I wish you good luck during the tour. Saul Abrahams, lider brytyjskiego zespołu Bilk, był gościem audycji Uwierz w muzykę. 24 stycznia ukazał się drugi album Essex, Drugs and Rock and Roll. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Cheers for having us. Appreciate it.